Welcome, everybody, to the Don't Go In There podcast, a true crime podcast with a paranormal twist. I'm Bill Reed, joined as always by your hostess, Ashley Ernie. And this week, we will be talking about a badass survivor, Tika Adams. So, Ash, yeah. I'm really excited about this. I haven't read anything, so I'm excited about your little case here.
Get prepared. This is a banana story, but I will tell you things throughout the whole thing. I will remind you that she survived and that she's 7 months pregnant. So as insane that I am, that I'm, 5 months pregnant, I decided to do a fetal thing story.
Makes sense.
Yeah. We'll post some stuff on our social media, but guys, let us know what you think. Hit us up on our social at Twitter in there 3, Instagram Facebook is Don't Go In There. We have a page and groups. Join the page, like the group, vice versa. That, you know what I mean. And then we have a website in there, 19.website.com. You don't have to memorize that. It's in our show notes, so just click on the link and check it out. All of our episodes are uploaded there, so you can listen to them on your computer. And Gmail. Email us at gmail, don'tgointhere19@gmail.com. Let us know what you think. Any true crime stories you want us to cover, paranormal stories, we're here for it all.
Yep, and don't forget to check us out on the anchor.fm and subscribe to us on your podcast listening platform. And on that platform, if you have the option to leave us a rating, please do so. It helps us climb the charts and gets us out there a little bit more than just if you guys just don't let us know how we're doing. So we would appreciate it.
Yeah, absolutely. So a couple sources I just want to shout out that I first is one, I first heard about this on MFM, so My Favorite Murder, their 117 episode. It's also a My Survive story. If you get that channel, you can watch it. It's also on YouTube. You can watch her story. It's crazy how she talks about this whole thing. DailyNews.com, CBSNews.com, and Daily Mail. So there's a ton of sources out there. I primarily used her story, her telling it, and then I filled in the rest with the other stuff. So
that makes sense since she's the one that went through it. So
yes.
Well, it's nice that we have some, this is the second one where you had some credible sources. Usually we have to use things like Wikipedia or vampires.com or werewolves.com. So it's nice to have some.
Vampires and werewolf.com is pretty legit.
I'm not saying that it's not. I'm just saying maybe be a little biased on those websites. I'm just saying. All right, Ash, well, I don't have anything else. If you have nothing else, what do you say? Let's go in there.
Let's go. So in December 2009, Tika Adams was living on the streets in Washington, D.C. She was rebellious, and according to her, she didn't want to live by anybody else's rules. And that got her into some rough situations. Tika decided that it was time to get her life together, and so she goes into a shelter to help get her feet, and she meets this guy, PJ. They fall in love and get married, and shortly after, Tika gets pregnant. About 7.5 months pregnant, Tika keeps getting these phone calls from this unknown number, and this girl says on the other line that her name's Stephanie, and Stephanie claims to work for a program that helps homeless women get baby supplies, like clothing, diapers, car seats, strollers, all that fun baby stuff. And Stephanie says that they have a big warehouse full of stuff that Tika can come down and she can pick out whatever she wants and needs for her new baby. Clearly, being homeless, Tika was thrilled to have this opportunity. She thought that it was an amazing opportunity being homeless and not having nothing else. She viewed this as a blessing. However, PJ, her husband, did not like the sound of it at all. He thought it was too good to be true, warned Tika about not rushing into anything with, you know, people she doesn't know, which, good for him for getting a red flag out there. And, you know, it's too good. If it sounds too good to be true, it is.
And good for him, you know, it would have been easy to have been like, oh, we're homeless, we need these things, just to go down and do it, instead of just being like, wait a minute, why is this one popping up, and why hasn't anybody ever spoken about these programs? you usually don't get a phone call from these programs. You usually have to go out and find these type of programs and apply for it.
Yeah. And I would assume even at like the shelters, they would have like some sort of paperwork on it or flyer or some information package of sorts where it's like, yeah, you have to apply. I don't know. I mean, I know there's programs out there for, you know, if you're having a baby and you're, you know, homeless or stuff, but it's not just they're going to call you out of the blue. You have to do something to prompt it.
Yeah. And you have to, usually you have to not only do something to prompt it, but you have to do something to be eligible. They're just not going to call you, hey, come down to our warehouse and pick out whatever you want kind of thing. So,
but Tika tells PJ that he shouldn't be so distrustful of others that want to help. And Tika meets the Stephanie person outside of the shelter. Tika says that Stephanie was very nice, very soft-spoken, and Tika gets into Stephanie's car, which, I'm sorry, this is like red flag number one for me. I don't care who you are, what you're doing. If you're meeting a stranger to go get stuff, don't get in their car, like, especially alone.
Yeah, and especially if it was just like a personal car and not like some type of car that had advertisements for this so-called nonprofit. Usually they drive, you know,
like a church van.
Like a church van, a truck, something that says, hey, this is where we're from, has a phone number on it, just not some random car.
They get in the car, they start driving. And Stephanie asks how everything's going with Tika. And Tika starts telling Stephanie all about her life and how she's turning her life around and how she's really happy. While she's in conversation, Tika's kind of losing track of where they're going. She's really not paying attention to the drive. She's in the conversation. Mm-hmm. So instead of taking Tika to the warehouse, Stephanie drives her to her apartment, where the two of them go up to Stephanie's apartment. And I'm sorry, but this would freak me out if I was alone in the car with a stranger I met. I'd be like, why are we going to your apartment? I'll wait outside in the car for you. Like, maybe you have to go grab the keys or whatever.
Yeah.
But don't go up into their apartment. Like, don't go in there.
There you go.
I did.
I was just about to say it.
Stephanie sits Tika down in an unfurnished bedroom, which, just think of how creepy this all sounds. An unfurnished bedroom, and puts on a movie. Why? There's no questions. Why is there no questions being asked on why a movie's getting turned on right now? This is not what you got in the car to do.
Wait a minute. Hold on. What movie was it? Because if you're going to throw on Step Brothers, I'm going to sit right there and I'm not going to ask any questions.
I don't think they have ever said what it was, but I probably can guarantee it wasn't Step Brothers.
Well, I'm just saying, if it was that or Pineapple Express, if it's me and your husband, we're going to sit there and we're going to watch the movie. And we're not going to ask anything.
Someone wants to kidnap you or John.
There's three things you can put on the TV. Yeah. Step Brothers, Pineapple Express, or a psych episode. That's just fact.
It's that easy. Yeah. So while the movie's on, Stephanie starts doing other stuff around the apartment. And at this point, Tika gets a call from PJ. And he asks where she was. And Tika told him that everything was fine, that she's fine. And she later says, the truth was, she had no idea where she was at, and she didn't want him to worry. Make him worry. Make him track your ass somehow. Like, I know John and I have both Find My Friend on our phone, so I can track his phone, and he could track mine. Mm-hmm. And at first, I was like, this is dumb. Like, he shouldn't be tracking me. But, like, if I get kidnapped and I have my phone, he could at least find me somehow. Well, so if PJ had this.
Yeah. We don't exactly have that, but what we do is, like, whenever I was moving out here by myself, I invited Anne to see my Google Maps to track where I was, just in case something happens. I mean, I'm traveling for 3 days with nobody but besides Diesel with me, so she would know in case something happened where I was last or whatever. Luckily, I didn't leave my phone anywhere. Like I
or lose it on the highway.
I mean, I've done that before.
You weren't on your bike either.
Wasn't on my bike this time.
But no, side note about that Google's map. There was a podcast, and I think it's Live to Die in LA. I think that was it. But they were tracking this girl on Google, and it was more accurate than the pings on her cell phone. Like, Google, if you have all that turned on your phone, it's very accurate, and it's very creepy.
Yeah.
Be good. So since PJ was worried, it started to worry Tika that she was a little upset with herself that she got lost in the conversation and didn't pay attention where they were driving to. Like, she didn't get the address on the building. She didn't know what neighborhood she was in. So after the first movie ended, Stephanie puts on a second movie, which is so weird to me. So that's like 2 hours of sitting in this girl's apartment watching movies. And Tika is like a super nice, sweet girl. She probably didn't say anything because she's still in the back of her mind thinking she's going to get all this baby stuff. Might as well endure two movies.
Yeah.
So while the second movie was playing, out of nowhere, a heavy blanket gets thrown over Tika's head and Stephanie starts beating her in the head. So Tika jumps up. Yeah, it gets crazy from here. And this is very mild, I will say. So Tika jumps up and puts her hands over her head, and all Tika could see was blood running down. So she now has like a head injury. So Tika knows she has to get out of this place and she starts running for the front door. But the front door is locked. There's a chain lock, a deadbolt, and then the regular door lock. So there's three fucking locks on this door.
That's a lot of locks.
A lot of locks. Stephanie ends up catching up with Tika and jumps on her. Now it's worth mentioning that Tika is a small, pretty small woman. She's only like, I would say like 5'3", 5'4". She's tiny. And Stephanie was much, much larger. And they're wrestling now on the ground. And Tika is trying to get Stephanie off her. Keep in mind, she's 7.5 months pregnant. Like, jeez. I can't get off the couch and I'm 5 months pregnant. And this girl is wrestling on the ground. She's 7.5 months pregnant.
Jeez.
Like, you don't... It's so weird when you're pregnant. Like, you lose those ab muscles that, like, can get you up quickly. Like, it's it's the weirdest thing. So for her to be wrestling on the ground with somebody is insane. So while wrestling on the ground, Stephanie is trying to choke Tika. Tika has this head injury. She can barely see. Blood's coming down her face. Stephanie picks up a fucking fireplace poker and hits Tika in the head about 40 times.
Jesus Christ. That's,
yeah. Like, in fucking sane. And at some point, Tika passes out. So finally, when she comes to, this is like just a few minutes later, she feels Stephanie pick her up by her ankles and drag her into the kitchen. And in the kitchen, Tika is laying on the floor and she heard Stephanie kind of like moving around, rummaging through drawers and stuff. And all of a sudden, she feels a sharp pain in her side. So I will say, if you're squeamish, be aware, because it just gets worse from here. Tika looks down towards the source of the pain and she sees Stephanie holding a box cutter. A motherfucking box cutter. Tika is now seeing blood pour out of her abdominal and Stephanie goes back in the kitchen and Tika can hear her start to pray. So she starts to cut Tika, stops midway through basically, goes in the kitchen and starts praying. Like, what the fuck is your crazy ass praying for? Apparently, Stephanie was saying stuff like, Lord, forgive me. Lord, I'm a sinner. Please forgive me. How about you don't, and you get this girl to the hospital?
I am so confused. This escalated. Like, I don't even know what to say right now. Because, like, she's just sitting there watching Pineapple Express, and then all of a sudden, she's fucking stabbed. Like, it escalated. Yes. That escalated very quickly.
Insanely quickly. It went from like 0 to 100 in like a second.
Mm-hmm.
Tika is still laying on the floor. And at this point, she lost so much blood, she doesn't have the energy to move. And a little while later, Stephanie comes back and she starts cleaning up the blood. Stephanie asks Tika if she can get up. Tika says she doesn't think so. So Stephanie picks up Tika and carries her into the unfurnished bedroom, puts her down on the mattress. And at some point, Stephanie also takes away Tika's cell phone from her and she turns it off. No one can now track her. No one can call her. She can't even call out for help. So also, like, having Stephanie pick up Tika just shows you how much bigger and powerful she was over Tika. Like, yeah. Tika was a small girl. So eventually, Tika is laying on this mattress. Her bleeding stops. So it wasn't a super deep cut. So it finally stops. And she tries to talk to Stephanie in order to maybe to try to get Stephanie to change her mind and hope she'll let her go, maybe take her to hospital. She starts saying stuff like, I would never tell on you because I don't believe in breaking families up. So in the conversation over in the car, they were both talking about how they have kids and have families. Like, this is Tika's first kid, I believe. But she was saying, you know, the other Stephanie has kids, so she would never, like, break up her family. She would never tell. it's everything's going to be fine if you let me go, basically.
Yeah.
Basically, you do what you do in these situations to get out. So Tika Cotella was working on Stephanie because she started to pace in circles and mumble to herself. And Tika could tell that Stephanie was freaking out. And at some point, this is like the most insane thing. Well, most insane thing. But Stephanie says to herself, fuck, I need to get out of this apartment. Like, yeah, so does Tika. You fucking cut her. She needs to get out of the apartment too. However, Tika knew that she wouldn't be left there alone because she's seen Stephanie's face. She knew where she lived. There's no way that Stephanie would leave her by herself.
Yeah.
The timeline is actually pretty crazy. Most reports say 3 days. There was one that said 5 days, but I'm going to say three. I believe that's what Tika says in her I Survived video too. And it's kind of, it wasn't clear on how, like what days things happened. I'm sure she didn't really have great sense of time either, being just held in a room.
Yeah.
With like nothing, no phone or clock or anything like that. She's been in there for about 3 days. Tika says the first night, Stephanie played a movie all night, but Tika didn't sleep or watch the movie. She was just like staring at Stephanie, who was watching these movies. So it's like, it's
fucking weird. This is, it's super weird.
So weird. Like, what movies are you watching?
I don't know. It's like the weirdest thing in the world.
On the third night, so the last night, Stephanie walks into the bedroom. She's holding a metal bowl full of ice with a rag in it. She has rags on her shoulder. She has 6 towels, 2 box cutters, and a knife. Things are about to get fucking crazy. If you're squeamish, skip ahead. Just remember, she survives.
Yeah, you're gonna have, Jesus Christ. It's like she went in as a butcher. Jeez, oh man.
Yes. Stephanie wraps Tika's head in duct tape. Her eyes are covered. Her mouth is covered, but she can barely breathe through her nose. And now Stephanie starts cutting. Stephanie starts at the top of Tika's pelvic region and cuts upward. So keep in mind, yeah, you're not using surgical tools. This isn't no scalpel. This is a fucking box cutter. Ugh, it freaks me out. And it's a kitchen knife. So it's not going deep enough. Tika could feel every cut. Like, how freaking sad and horrible is this? Like, she can feel every time Stephanie tries to, like, make a new incision. And she keeps having to, like, rehash it because it's not deep enough. Stephanie's having a hard time cutting through Tika's skin, so she keeps having to pick at it. Finally, she makes her way down to the muscle. So she's not even at muscle yet. You're just going through your, like, epidural layers, which I don't even know if that was the right word, but it's your skin layers.
You know what? Touche for you. That was...
was that good?
That was good. I liked it. Fucking Dr. Ashley.
I'm like a street doctor, a podcast doctor.
A podcast doctor, yeah. Yeah, you're the person coming in with a metal bowl of ice, rags, and box cutter.
Fuck no. So Tika is laying awake. She's feeling all of this. While all of this is going on, Michael Jackson's music video is playing in the background. And Stephanie keeps stopping it to go back and rewind to the performance part. So I think it's, she did say what it was, and I forgot. There was one Michael Jackson video, not Thriller. I forget which one it was. But there's like a performance part, and then there's like a speaking, talking part or whatever. Maybe it was Thriller. I don't know. But she, once it gets to like the talking part, she rewinds it to him singing again. And even Tika in her video was like, why the fuck is this bitch playing Michael Jackson? Like, she even thought it was weird.
This whole fucking thing is weird. You can't even make this shit up. Like,
no, you cannot. So eventually Tika does pass out. When she comes to, she sees Stephanie lying in the fetal position on the front door, like in front of the door.
Mm-hmm.
Her duct tape, it didn't say if it was off or not yet, but since she can see Stephanie, I'm assuming Stephanie took her duct tape off. Tika tries to roll over on the bed and realizes that this might be her only chance to get out. When she rolls over, her wedding ring hits the metal bowl and creates a ringing sound, and she completely freezes, like she freaks out. However, Stephanie did not wake up. So she took up praise to God. She says, if I can just get the strength from somewhere to stand up, I can get out of here. And that's exactly what she does. She stands up. She starts sneaking out of the room. She has to step over Stephanie, and she does. Blood is dripping down onto Stephanie. She freezes thinking that she's going to wake up, but she doesn't. So Tika keeps going, and she starts to get up the hallway. Another squeamish alert. it's going to get worse. I don't know if it can, but it does. Halfway up the hallway, the contents of her torso fall out of her.
Oh.
Her, yeah. Because you got to remember, she's still all sliced and diced up down there. So, like, her intestines and gallbladder, I don't know, appendix, all whatever's down there, everything falls out. And she literally picks everything up and keeps going. Like, insane. She gets to the door. She unlocks all three of the apartment doors. She gets out of the apartment. So she gets all those locks out, and she gets out. When she's out in the hallway, she starts yelling for help, banging on the door, but no one comes to the door. No one is around. And when Tika reaches the bottom of the apartment steps, she passes out from, like, you know, loss of blood and having to carry her insides. Stephanie finally wakes up during all this, sees that Tika is passed out at the bottom of the stairs, and she goes down and she tries to lift Tika up and get her back into, you know, tries to get her back up the stairs into the apartment. Well, thankfully, Tika came too, and she starts fighting. She said she started biting her fingers. She started screaming for help. And finally, a guy from the third floor came down and asked Stephanie and Tika, like, what the hell is going on? And Stephanie says in her very calm, sweet voice that Tika is very delusional and she's trying to help her and she's fighting against her. And Stephanie keeps talking over Tika. And while Tika was trying to say is help, she's trying to kill me, but Stephanie's not letting that be heard, basically. And Tika notices that this guy is not really reacting to the situation. Like, Tika knows that she's been cut. She has her insides are out. She's bloody. But because she's wearing a navy blue shirt, that blood, it doesn't, like, it's not coming through. So the guy doesn't immediately recognize that she's hurt. Mm-hmm. So what Tika does is she lifts up her shirt to show the guy that all of her insides are exposed, basically. And this guy says, he, like, freaks out and he goes, I'm calling the cops, and runs up to his apartment and gets the cops.
Oh my God.
Imagine being that guy. Like, I would be freaked out.
That, what do you do in that situation? That is fucking crazy.
It's insane. So once this happened, Stephanie gave Tika the dirtiest look. Like, I don't know where Stephanie thinks she has the right to give Tika a dirty look, but basically, like, bitch, you just got me caught. And then she takes off. She says to Tika before she leaves, I should have killed you. And then Stephanie runs away. So now Tika is left bleeding on the stairs, but EMTs get there, and one leans down and to her, and he goes, ma'am, are you hurt? And Tika is awake to answer, and he's like, yes, I've been beaten and cut. And again, Tika has to lift up her shirt to show the EMT, and Tika says that he looked like he was going to throw up everywhere. God. Like, I'm sure they've never had a call like this before.
Yeah, Jesus Christ. I couldn't even imagine going to that.
No. Tika is rushed to the hospital. She has emergency surgery. When she wakes up from surgery, she sees PJ by her bedside. The first thing she asked PJ was, did the baby survive? So Tika then again has to ask a nurse who came into the room. And the nurse said, you gave birth to an 8-pound, 2-ounce baby girl. Mind you, again, 7.5 months pregnant. So that's a good sized baby girl.
That's a big girl.
That's a good sized baby girl. The baby was apparently balled up at the very top of her womb, which helped save her. And I think it's kind of crazy because it's like when you're pregnant, everything moves up. So Stephanie was cutting too low. Mm-hmm. Thank God.
Yeah.
But even still, if she would have got, you know, into the uterus, she would have, like, even damaged the placenta. The baby could have not survived.
That's nuts. This is crazy.
It is.
I cannot believe that baby survived. That is.
Yep. She also probably sensed that the mom was in so much stress and stuff, just all the stuff going on, like all the cutting and stuff happening low. The baby probably moved up.
Yeah.
Since they can move all around. Thank God she moved up there. So she was happy and healthy. And Tika says that she named her Miracle Sky because Tika survived and the baby survived. This is where stuff is, like, unbelievable. Tika attacker, her name is actually Veronica Demartris or whatever. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I don't even care how to fucking say her name. She's terrible. She was 40 at the time she met Tika, who was 29 years old. Veronica ended up calling the cops on herself and was arrested in Arlington, Virginia. Veronica testified, said that she paid Tika $5,000 for her baby. When Tika heard this in court, she lunged at Veronica. She was about to hop over that little fence and, like, take this girl out. And Tika said she was only held back by her dad. And this was in her I Survived video. She goes, my dad wasn't there, I would have had her. She goes, my dad tackled me to the floor because that judge was just looking like, this shit's crazy. Like, he wasn't stopping her.
Oh, I hope the judge wouldn't stop her. Let her get a few punches in or something. Jeez.
I know. I was like, you could just one like really good one. It's not even obviously, but it's, you know, just gives her some peace of mind. Mm. Veronica had been telling relatives and her her boyfriend that she was pregnant, even though she wasn't, which is fucking psychotic. The public defender, Kim Robinson, argued, first off, I don't like this public defender. They argued that the attempt of first-degree murder charged would not hold up because there was no evidence that Veronica intended to kill Tika. What the fuck do you think happens when you cut someone's torso with a box cutter?
Just gotta try. I don't know. Gotta try something, I guess.
How do you not intend to kill somebody? Like, that, it's not like you cut their pinky off. Like, obviously they're gonna survive that.
Fucking people.
So, a small note I put in here. In the small number of reported fetal abduction cases, a few pregnant women and about half of their fetuses survived the assault and non-medically performed cesarean section. Just with the statistic alone, you obviously meant to kill them because less than half of the fetuses survive.
Well, who in their right mind would try to steal a baby out of a womb and keep their keep the mother alive?
Exactly.
But, you know?
Yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah. So, however, Prince George County District Judge Thurman H. Rhodes disagreed and found sufficient probable cause for all charges. Thank goodness there was someone with a right state of mind who was like, no, you're fucking getting charged.
I like it.
So Veronica is sentenced to 25 years in jail, and in 12 years, she'll be up for parole, which is fucking insane. But Tika says that she will show up to her parole every time, if she's alive, she will be there. Mm-hmm. And she will make sure this girl sits in jail. So I couldn't find when this happened. I'm assuming since it was December 2009. So I'm assuming this all took place in 2010. So if that's the case, then her parole would be in 2021, which would be next year.
Yeah.
Fetal abduction cases, while they are rare, they are not heard of. And there's cases dating back to 1974 and as recent as 2015. And I would even say as recent as last year. It's not really a fetal abduction, but there was that woman in Texas, I believe it was Texas. She had a three-week-old, and she wanted to go visit her best friend, quote-unquote best friend, and the best friend killed the mom, stole the baby. And she told, throughout the one girl's pregnancy, she told everyone else she was pregnant, she's having a baby, this is her due date, which matched her friend. Her friend had the baby. Friend came over to visit with the baby. She killed her friend, stole the baby.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah. So that just happened last year. So it wasn't really taking out the womb. But these cases, they fucking terrify me. Only because it's so gruesome and it's so harsh. Because there's no, they don't do anything with the mother. They don't put the mother under. They just slice and dice until they get to the baby. And they're like, leave you for dead. And I always freak out, especially like when my sister-in-law would do like those Facebook exchanges, like, I'm going to pick up something from the Facebook marketplace or whatever. And she'd go by herself when she was pregnant. I'm like, someone's going to steal your baby. Don't do that. Go with somebody. Don't go by yourself.
I hope it doesn't happen. So, but at least you run a podcast and you know it can happen, and you always make sure somebody's with you.
Yeah. And I just use Amazon and get everything delivered to my house.
There you go. There you go.
I don't ever leave my walls. But that is the insane story of Tika Adams and her badass baby survivor, Miracle Sky.
Fucking unreal. He literally couldn't even write this as a screenplay or whatever. I'm like lost for words. Like, that's nuts.
The most insane thing is that she survived, and just her telling the story is so just matter-of-factly. Like, it's not like she doesn't have emotions about it, because she does, but it's just like, something that happened to her. I don't know how to describe it. Just her attitude about it is just so inspiring to be a survivor. Mm-hmm. Like, it's really, everyone should go watch the video. It's so good, but just, it's just insane that something like this could even happen.
Yeah, that takes a lot to survive that. A weaker person would have died. And it's crazy that the baby, like, did what it did to survive as well.
Yeah.
And it just shows you how developed babies in, you know, the womb actually are at that time.
Yeah.
That's nuts. It's crazy.
So crazy. So, guys, let us know what you think about this story. Anything else you want to share with us on our social media? Twitter is don'tgointhere3. Instagram is don't_go_in_there. Facebook page, like it. Join the group, Don't Go In There. And our website is don'tgointhere19.website.com. Again, that's going to be in our show notes. You could just click on the link, head over there and check it out. And then email us your true crime stories, your paranormal stories, your feedback on the show, anything you want us to cover or just want to say. Email us at don'tgointhere19@gmail.com.
Yep. And don't forget to check us out on the anchor.fm platform and subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts. And if you get a chance to leave us a rating and review, that way our podcast can be seen more by other people. So that is it for this week. Ash, do you have anything else?
No, that's it for now.
All right, guys. Until next week, remember, don't go in there.